science news writer Elsa Youngstead is sitting in for David Grimm to talk about the latest science stories on Science Now. Hi, Elsa.
Hi, Rob.
So what stories do you have for us today?
So today we have stories about carbon nanotubes, how the wonder materials of the 21st century nanotechnology movement may actually be hazardous to your health. We have more strange news from outer space about how a very dense star seems to be orbiting in the wrong direction around the wrong kind of star. And we have the truth about how much sloths sleep.
Well, let's start then with the wonder material of the 21st century, nanotubes. Why are they hazardous to your health?
So as you know, carbon nanotubes are small tubes made of graphite, the same stuff as a pencil lead, and they're the size on the order of 1,000th the diameter of a human hair. They're lighter than plastic and stronger than steel, which has made them very promising for applications in materials and small-scale electronics. But some of them, known as multi-walled nanotubes, are stiff and needle-like in shape, so they resemble asbestos fibers, and some scientists have worried that they may have similar effects on human health. Asbestos fibers work their way into the lungs and can ultimately lead to forms of lung cancer. So to look into this possibility, a team of researchers injected rats with multi-walled nanotubes, or with asbestos fibers, or with a different kind of carbon nanotube that's floppier, single-walled nanotubes. And they found that the rats' initial immune reaction to the nanotubes, to the multi-walled nanotubes, was similar to their reaction to asbestos.
So did it cause cancer?
It didn't cause cancer, but it caused an early inflammatory response that was similar between the two materials, which suggests that we need to know more about the multi-walled carbon nanotubes, because if the similarities continue, they may be cancer-causing.
Where might these multi-walled nanotubes be found anyway?
They're being developed for use in new drugs, advanced batteries, and futuristic electronics, among other things. But their use is not yet widespread, and this research underscores the need to learn more about them before they do become more common.
Well, from particles on a nanoscale to pulsars the size of a small city. Why is this one going around in the wrong way?
Well, no one knows quite why it's going the wrong direction, but they'd like to find out. Right now, the interesting thing is that it is going the wrong direction, and it's going around the wrong kind of star.
What's that mean exactly, going the wrong way and the wrong star?
So most pulsars, which are very dense, actually corpses of stars that have died in supernovas and become very dense, they're usually associated with a second star. In fact, that's involved in how they form, but because of the way they form, pulsars normally spin in a perfectly round orbit around a second star, which is almost always a white dwarf. But this pulsar is spinning in an oblong orbit around a star that's much like our own sun. And this contradicts what astronomers believe about the way pulsars form. And they don't know the explanation for it yet. They think there may be a third star in the system that they haven't found yet. Or the pulsar may have started orbiting a white dwarf like a normal pulsar and later been sucked into an orbit around this other star.
So follow-up observations needed in order to figure this one out?
That's right.
Well, from one of the fastest moving or spinning things in the galaxy to one of the slowest, sloths. They're not so slothful, after all?
Not as much as we thought. Scientists have believed for years that sloths sleep 15 to 20 hours per day. These numbers are based on just watching sloths in nature. They don't move very much, so people have thought they were sleeping. And then observations in captivity confirmed this. Researchers hooked sloths up to an electroencephalogram and recorded the electric waves emanating from their brains. Certain waves indicate sleep, and this study showed that the sloths in captivity were sleeping about 15 hours per day. But no one knew if sloths in nature are doing the same thing.
So did these researchers come up with a new way to measure electroencephalograms in the wild?
They did. They came up with a new device that the sloth wears like a little cap. It includes silver wire electrodes that slip under the skin on the animal's scalp, and they connect to a mini data logger that all fits inside a little cap on the sloth's head. And so they caught three sloths in Panama and outfitted them with these devices and let them go for 5 days and then got back the devices. and found out that the animals had only been sleeping on average 9.6 hours per night, so barely more than half what we really expected from sloths.
Now, is that because the sloths feel less safe when they're out in the wild?
That's one possibility. No one knows for sure why the difference between the study in the wild and the study in captivity, but that is one possibility, that sloths in nature have to spend more time looking out for predators and trying to find food.
So how might other scientists use this research?
So it's important for sleep researchers to know how much animals sleep in nature because they would like to understand the function of sleep by comparing how much different animals sleep, and they've started to do this with animals in captivity, but not knowing whether those are really representative of what the animals would be doing in nature, those data could be misleading unless they're double-checked this way.
So they'll probably be able to adapt this same contraption to other animals?
Well, a version of the device was actually developed for homing pigeons, and they hope next to use it to study sleep in ostriches.
Okay, well thanks, Elsa.
Thanks, Rob.
So what other stories are you looking into for science now?
Well, Rob, we're looking into two stories on how morning sickness may actually be useful, and a story on something you might not expect coming from Mars, floods.
Science news writer Elsa Youngstead sitting in for David Grimm with the latest science stories from Science Now, the free online daily news site of science. For the latest science news, go to sciencenow.sciencemag.org.